Parks building. They were like, what are you doing? And we would tell them, and they were just like high-fiving and like, thank you so much for doing this because we feel unsafe. And during the 2 hours, I figured, you know, we might get, you know, a few negative reactions. It was so much fun. I got high fives from drivers. Like, a couple of them were ill-advised, but, you know, you don't want to be rude. And what I learned from that and from a few others is that, one, crossings can be fun and awesome and a place for people, regardless of your road, to really connect and to respect each other. And one thing that I think the Foster Streetscape Plan can do by eliminating multiple threat that Laurel was talking about and increasing crossing improvements is really creating a more connected, fun, awesome neighborhood that people love to live in. And also I learned that education isn't enough, that we need better infrastructure. We need those sidewalks. I was going on a date last night. We were going to 92nd and Foster, and my date and I ended up having to go single file, which isn't fun. please make my dates more fun. That's basically what I'm saying. So thank you very much for your efforts.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Angela Cortal, and I am a homeowner in Lenz. I'm also a business owner in the Foster Powell area. My family first moved to Foster Powell in 1983, and so I've been around for a while there and love the area. I'm very invested in the area. I'm also on the co-chair position of the Foster Powell Neighborhood Association. So I'm very much invested in the improvement, community, and just making it overall a better place for all of us to live, recreate, work, whatever we're doing there. Over the decades, it has become a little better to get around on foot. I definitely appreciate the rapid flash beacons and think that there's definitely much more room for improvement there, as many others have mentioned. There's still the, even over time, maybe a less amount of safety for bicyclists getting around just as more cars get on the road as the years have gone by. I have a 2-mile commute, and I have never used Foster on a bicycle. I won't do it. If I have to go 2 miles diagonal, instead I'll go almost 4 through the side streets to get around. And many others do too. It also just inhibits that access, and being up and down the road on foot and bicycle encourages the visibility for my business and other businesses around to be a welcoming and inviting place. But change can be hard to the area. It can be inconvenient. Not everyone's going to agree, but I'm sure, as you can see with the green, many others agree that we want to be able to safely use and recreate and patronize the businesses and community centers around the area. And I want the same for everyone else around. I want us to be able to use the neighborhoods to their full potential instead of living more out of a place of fear and protection. And I'm just not going to do that because it's not safe to go there in that route. So this plan is worth it. I believe it's worth investing in. And I think a lot of people here think it's worth investing in also. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm a naturopathic doctor. I work at Apex Wellness Center.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next three are Malia Sajko, Nick Falbo, and Dan Campbell. And they'll be followed by Craig Beebe, Seth Richardson, and Matthew B. Masitic.
Good afternoon. Who'd like to be first? Go ahead. You look ready.
I'll go first. My name is Nick Falbo. My house is just a few blocks from 82nd and Foster Road, so my household is very affected by the sort of changes that are going to come to this corridor, and I sat on the advisory committee for this project for the last year and a half. So 11 years ago, my neighbors came to this very room and asked for a safer Foster Road. They made this 2003 Foster Streetscape Plan. The original plan envisioned a human-scaled street with trees, pedestrian lights, safe crossings. It specifically called for slowing traffic on the street, and it included the possibility of adding bicycle lanes to Foster. That original plan was passed with unanimous support of all five council members, but it was never fully implemented. So we're here today with version two of this plan, asking again for the same things. So I'm going to talk about two of the major differences between the old plan that was passed and the new plan that's being proposed today. It's the reconfiguration of the travel lanes and the new sidewalks in Lentz. So it's really easy to turn this road reconfiguration into a sort of cars versus bike discussion. But really, it's not just about the bike lanes. It's about everything else you get when you go from four lanes to three lanes. When you go from four lanes to three lanes, the road is instantly safer. Cars can no longer dangerously speed as they are slowed and paced by all of the traffic going evenly ahead of them. When you go from four lanes to three lanes, the road is instantly easier to cross. Pedestrians have to cross 20 fewer feet of threatening traffic. When you go from four lanes to three lanes, it's instantly easier for drivers to stop for people crossing the street. All four lane streets suffer from something called the double threat, which you've heard about today. This is a real deadly problem, and the reconfiguration is a real permanent solution. And these benefits, they don't just improve a couple spots here or there, like key crossing areas. They actually, when you go from four lanes to three lanes, it affects every inch, every crossing, every neighborhood that it touches. And the second major change in the plan has to do with sidewalks. Foster is known for having wide Paris-inspired sidewalks, and to the west of the corridor, they are very wide. They're 17 feet. But they go down to 5 feet east of 82nd. It's shocking. It really is. I've done that single-file date-night walk down to 92nd myself. It's not possible for two neighbors to walk side-by-side on that, and when there's a fast-moving truck go nearby, it's harrowing. The 2003 plan actually ignored this problem. It sort of waved it away and said, in the future, development will happen, and we're going to get bigger sidewalks. But that development has never come, and the sidewalks have never come with it, so it's still a very dangerous situation. But this time around, PBOT and the committee acknowledge the issue of the inadequate sidewalks, and they are dedicating a significant portion of funds from this project to fixing that problem. And they're going to get upgraded to something that can support trees and support businesses and support communities. And so for the first time in a long time, Foster Road has a chance to become a street that connects people and connects neighborhoods rather than one that divides them. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Malia Seiko. Hello. And I just want to say thanks for listening to us. Actually, the first time I came here was last week, and it's very cool to see all these people that I voted for sitting here and listening to me for a few minutes. So, anyways, I've lived in Oregon my whole life, and we bought a home in Foster Powell about 2 years ago, and I went to the National Night Out at our park, and they had a booth set up about this plan, and so we learned about it. And my son is four, but he will go to our Lita school, and it's a K through 8 school, and so we'll have to cross Foster every day. And it's like running for your life at 67th. There's only one light. So there's no way I'm going to be able to let him cross on his own. He's going to always have to be with someone, which is not the end of the world. But we can't shop any of the businesses on Foster because they're difficult to get to. The only coffee shop is across Foster. And so, it takes a lot of work to get over there. I think that the businesses in the neighborhood deserve to have traffic slowed down. We have the infrastructure for some really great businesses and community there. And I'm in favor of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Dan Campbell. I'm the Foster Powell Transportation Chair, and I'm also here to represent Oregon Walks, which supports the recommended streetscape. I am substituting for Catherine Doherty, who spent a lot of time on the stakeholder advisory. I first want to thank Mauricio and the PPOT staff for all their hard work. They've done an amazing job in outreaching and really hearing our needs. But today I'm going to do my best to, as a parent, to represent families that live along Foster Corridor. Along Foster Road, the neighborhoods are quickly becoming populated with young families, which many of them send their children across the high crash corridor to get to a school. As a parent, it is extremely stressful crossing Foster Road just to get to our neighborhood coffee shop or school, Many parents share this sentiment. Foster Road, as we can see. Foster Road acts like a highway for vehicles passing through. I recognize that by changing the cross section, it is going to have an impact on our neighborhoods to the east and west. I understand their frustrations. However, that impact should not impede actions towards making Foster Road safer and more livable. Just like I want safe, livable conditions in our neighborhood, I want the same for their neighborhoods too. I worked at David Douglas at Gilbert Parks, where a five-year-old died while I was working there, crossing the street to school. Let's not have that happen anymore to any of our neighborhoods in Portland, and to prevent more deaths from occurring on Foster Road simply by reducing the travel lanes. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next three are Craig Beebe, Seth Richardson, and Matthew B. Masetic, and they'll be followed by Chris Roll, Ian Stude, and Ed Wallace.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Craig Beebe, and I'm a resident of the Woodstock neighborhood at 60th and Reedway. You've seen me before as a representative of City Club, but today I'm here just as a resident of Southeast Portland who's lived in the vicinity of Foster Road for about 4 years. But my first experience of Foster Road was 11 years ago when I was a freshman at Lewis and Clark. I had an assignment from a professor to go explore a new part of the city, and so I rode the 14 bus out as far as it went to Foster and 92nd, and I walked back downtown. And I remember thinking as I trudged up Foster, has Portland forgotten about this place? The vastness of the road, the speed of the traffic, the sense of desolation and danger was so unlike the rest of the city that I was falling in love with. And little did I know that they had just adopted a streetscape plan to improve it. But over a decade later, I can see that I was wrong. I can see that things are changing in the neighborhood. There are so many good people. We've heard from some of them today: entrepreneurs, immigrants, new homebuyers, and longtime residents. And there's so much exciting. This exciting that's happening. New restaurants and shops, community spaces like the Bob White Theater, the Lens Farmers Market, and I'm very excited about the Portland Mercado. And yet Foster Road remains largely the same today, a wall of noise and danger cutting into the heart of these communities and holding them back. The decision before you is an opportunity to do what we should have done a long time ago for Foster. It's a change that will encourage new investment and save lives. It's a change that will help, as Nick Falbo said, help ensure this highway, which currently divides communities, instead becomes a street that serves and connects them. Just last Sunday evening, I stood at Foster and 54th. This is the corner where Mei Ying Louis and her 8-year-old son, Jin, were killed in 2004 trying to cross Foster. It looks the same today. I had carry out from Foster Burger to bring home for dinner, but I had parked my car on the other side of Foster. Even with the light traffic of dusk on a Sunday evening in summertime, I had to look and look twice and look three times to make sure it was safe to dash across the highway's four wide lanes. You know, it's time to make sure that Foster Road is a street that doesn't force these life and death decisions on people who are just trying to bring dinner home, are trying to get to their bus stop, are trying to get to school. I have a 4-month-old son. In another 10 years, when we go to the Portland Mercado or any one of a number of businesses that I hope will be lining Foster, I hope he can't even imagine how dangerous, wide, and unhealthy Foster Road was today. I hope he won't even believe me that it ever looked like it does now, like it has for too long. I urge you to adopt and fund the streetscape plan now before you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. My name is Matthew Masetic. I own Red Castle Games on Foster Road, and I'm also part of the board of the Foster Area Business Association. And we've heard multiple reasons why this is good for the business district, so I'm just going to pass over those and talk about other priorities. And I want to touch on each of your priorities as commissioners and mayor. You know, Commissioner Novak, I know you want to see kids get to school safer, and this plan accomplishes that by getting more crosswalks, more rapid flash beacons, more ways that parents can safely let their kids go to school, accompanied or unaccompanied. Commissioner Fritz, I know from your talk at Venture Portland yesterday, you're very invested in the parks. And Laurelwood Park is a park that doesn't get used much. It's not easy to get to. It's not that pleasant with traffic just flowing by it at high speed. This plan instantly addresses a priority of yours of making the park more usable, more user-friendly, and more accessible. Commissioner Fish, I know you also work with Venture Portland, and I know you care about the business community. And I can stand here as a business owner, as well as a member of the Foster Area Business Association, and tell you the consensus is this plan is good for business. It makes it more visible to cars going slower. It makes it more accessible to pedestrians and cyclists. Mayor Hales, I know you're going after the transportation network, and this is an immediate project that we can address now and not kick the buck down the road. And it features so many great features that, whether it be livability or just putting a turn lane in so cars aren't waiting for that left-hand turn, it addresses it, or the tricky Foster-Holgate turn. And Commissioner Saltzman, I can't say I'm too familiar with you, but I know you said last week during the street fee that you have been on the council for 16 years and you want to continue being on the council. And this is not a controversial topic. If you look at all the green stickers in the room, the majority supports this. This is a safe vote. And I just want to encourage all of you.
Not that he needs that now.
Well, I just want to encourage all of you to support this wonderful project. thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Seth Richardson. I live in the Foster Powell neighborhood, and I have a small business on Foster Road itself, Medicon Bikes. And I'm excited about this from both of those perspectives, the improved sidewalks, the bike facilities, the bus stops, and the turn lane will make it easier and safer for you to get around the neighborhood no matter how you choose to do so. And I'm glad that this has all been planned with while keeping 94% of the on-street parking, which is important for most of the business owners down the corridor. And I think that these changes, the traffic calming, will be good, will help Foster become more vibrant commercially and much more pleasant to live near as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thanks.
Next three are Chris Roll, Ian Stude, and Ed Wallace. And they'll be followed by Mike Hernandez, Carl Larson, and Nathaniel Meek.
Sounds like we lost a couple. So if you heard your name called,
go ahead with Mike Hernandez then, if he's here.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Hales and commissioners. I'm Chris Rawl. I live at 2332 Southeast 54th Ave. That's right by Division Street. About a year and a half ago, I organized a walk to remember those who've been killed on Foster Road and some other nearby streets. Mostly folks have been killed while trying to walk in those areas. At least five people have been killed on Foster between Powell and 82nd since 2000. But two people, the sight of one crash, two people really stick out in my mind, and that's Mei-Jing Liu and her son, her young son, Jin, who were killed at 54th and Foster in 2002, trying to walk across the street. There have been some improvements in other places on Foster, but that intersection looks much the same as it did the day they were killed. And I know because once a week I bring my six-year-old twins on the You Belong tail bike, and I take them to the Bodhi Tree Language School, which is at 54th and Center, just a half block off of Foster. And they love it when my wife takes them to Foster Burger afterward. But I see that intersection every week, and every week I think of Mei-Jing and Jin. I divert four blocks out of my way to avoid exposing my kids to the crossing where they lost their lives. I don't want to fear for my safety. And as a father and a husband, I can only begin to fathom what it was like for the Liu family to lose their loved ones, especially a young son who had his whole life ahead of him. So please move forward and fix this road and fix it and make it safe. Please do that. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Ian Studi. I'm the Director of Transportation and Parking Services for Portland State University. I'm also the Vice Chair for the City's Bicycle Advisory Committee, and I'm here on behalf of the Bicycle Advisory Committee. So I'd like to read some prepared remarks from the committee. Mayor Hales and City Commissioners, the Foster Streetscape Plan will achieve a number of objectives for improving safety, livability, sustainability, and economic prosperity for Southeast Foster Road and the adjacent neighborhoods. Key to those objectives is the reassignment of roadway space in the corridor to create slower speeds, safer crossings, and bicycle lanes, and thus better accommodate those who choose to walk, bike, and take transit to and from the area. For too long, the prioritization of through movement for automobiles on Southeast Foster has inhibited growth of this vital area and endangered our citizens. The Portland Bicycle Advisory Committee reviewed this project in June of 2013 and again in November of 2013, where we heard from both city staff and citizen stakeholders. In order to meet the ambitious objectives of the Portland Bike Plan for 2030 and the Portland Climate Action Plan, we recommended protected world-class bicycle facilities for the majority of this project. The importance of energizing commercial corridors such as Southeast Foster with 21st century bicycle facilities cannot be overemphasized. If we truly want to encourage more trips by bicycle, we must provide infrastructure that leads our citizens and their families and their wallets to the front door of the destinations they want to frequent. Although our desires for a protected bicycle lane in both directions on Southeast Foster were not met in the final streetscape plan, we are more than content with the compromises that were made. The inclusion of buffered and standard bike lanes on this corridor is certainly a step in the right direction. PBOT has done an excellent job of balancing multiple objectives and demands and engaging a wide variety of stakeholders as a part of the process. We are happy to see a diversity of voices reflected in the final draft of the plan. Please note that our committee voiced strong opinions also about the importance of providing a seamless connection from the proposed bicycle facilities on Southeast Foster to the multi-million dollar 50s bikeway project, which is currently under construction. Unfortunately, the Southeast Foster project was not able to provide the desired level of connectivity between these two major investments, but we hope that it will be able to do so in the future as people using these two facilities will demand it. This project is a major improvement over what exists today. It marks a significant step towards creating a more active and economically viable corridor in this important area of the city. Most importantly, it will bring long overdue improvements for safety for the Portlanders who choose to work, live, learn, and play in these neighborhoods. For these reasons, we strongly encourage you to approve the Southeast Streetscape Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you and the committee members for your volunteer service as well.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor Hills, members of City Council, my name is Mike Hernandez. I live at 5829 Southeast Gladstone Street in the Foster Powell neighborhood. I work at TerraCycle, which is a recumbent bicycle parts manufacturing plant inside of Foster Powell as well at 5726 Center Street. So I'm heavily invested in the Foster Powell neighborhood. I also run a small business out of my garage, building custom bicycles for folks in Portland. The bicycling industry is a $100 million a year business, and I'm sure that you all know that. And as cyclists, we know that supporting small businesses within the city is key. And a lot of the money that we do spend stays within Portland, which I think is really amazing. And there's so much potential on Foster. We see a lot of these buildings that are essentially abandoned. I think somebody brought that up earlier. And there's a potential for a lot of small business within the Foster Powell corridor. You know, with car ownership declining, with car shares and things like that, I think it's just really smart to invest in this streetscape plan. A lot of people are realizing the benefits of cycling, and it's not just people from my generation, it's people from prior generations. Many of you know Brian Wilson, who's a peace activist, and he doesn't have both of his legs, but he manages to get around on his bicycle. It's actually a hand trike. So a lot of people really understand the benefits of cycling, and you know, I just kind of wanted to share that that as well. My partner and I, we moved to Foster Powell a couple of years ago, and we moved there for a reason. We're cyclists, we are pedestrians, but we also own a car. And so, you know, we're not anti-car or anything like that, but we are for livable streets, and we're really excited about what's happening within this neighborhood. I just want to praise all the folks that worked so hard on this streetscape plan. And I really think this is a really amazing opportunity. I'm excited to see the changes that are forthcoming. So I urge you to adopt and fund this streetscape plan, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Tell us again, what's the niche of your bike business? There were a couple of words I tripped over when you said
that. So we make recumbent bicycle parts and accessories. Hmm. So there's a lot of benefits to recumbent bicycles as well for elderly folks or folks with disabilities.
It just reminds me, Mayor, Venture Portland hosted a meeting recently in Inner Northeast of some folks that were thinking of forming an association of bike manufacturers. And it's a group that Congressman Blumenauer has been working with. And probably 12 people in the room, 15 people in the room. I had not met anyone in the room, and they had company names I'd never heard of. But in the course of the conversation, I learned that almost everyone in the room was best in class in some aspect of the bike business. So they were making a racing bike that was very hot, or a piece for a bike, or they were training, or they were off to Amsterdam to do something. And it was a point of real pride that we're nurturing so many people with these dreams of making a living doing something they love and then bringing distinction to our city around this industry.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you bringing that up. We manufacture and design everything in-house. So we are a U.S. Manufacturer, and I'm really excited to be a part of that. And I think Portland is the forefront for a lot of good things that are happening.
That's great. Thank you. Good luck. Thank you all.
And the last three who signed up are Carl Larson, Nathaniel Meek, and Kristen O'Neill.
Hey, welcome. Come on up.
Mayor Hills and City Commissioners.
Oh, there's a little button on the base of that microphone there. There you go. It will.
All right. My name is Carl Larson, advocate for the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. Our mission is to create healthy, sustainable communities by making bicycling safe, convenient, and accessible. We believe the proposed Foster Streetscape Plan takes a step in this direction and encourage you to support it. This plan addresses serious safety concerns on one of Portland's deadly high crash corridors while improving the health of neighborhoods and local businesses. High crash corridors only make up 4% of Portland's arterial streets, but they account for 66% of the city's pedestrian fatalities and 58% of serious pedestrian injuries. Foster Road currently divides adjacent neighborhoods with long distances between safe crossings and makes bicycling and walking challenging. Without a safe place to ride a bicycle, people use the sidewalk, which is not safe or comfortable for anyone. The plan before you today makes big steps towards correcting these dangerous deficiencies and making Foster a safe destination, more vibrant business district, and better transportation corridor. The Bicycle Transportation Alliance urges Council to support the Foster Streetscape Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Kristen O'Neill. I have my business on Foster Road right at that intersection across from the SEIU Hall. And I also live in the area, and I also do bicycle up and down Foster Road. Probably not the best idea, but I do it because I feel it's important to claim that road as belonging to everyone, including bicyclists and pedestrians. I know it's not for the faint of heart, but... So I also know two things. I know that this council, that transportation and safety are a priority for this council right now. And we know that Foster is it's a dangerous road, right? And this streetscape can address both of those issues instantly, as has already been talked about. The two things that I want to talk about that haven't been brought up yet are I'm also the president of the Foster Area Business Association, just to mention that. In this past winter, the Foster Area Business Association did a survey of the businesses and residents in the area, asking them what they thought of Foster now, what they want Foster to be in the future, and what they think needs to happen to make it get there. And the impression that people have of Foster right now is that the top three words that came up were potential, growing, and run down. Not exactly the best, not a glowing review of the district right now. Of the 75-plus responses we got, the future that people want for our district is walkable, vibrant, and friendly. And friendly was pedestrian-friendly, bike-friendly, and family-friendly. Those are the main three categories that people wanted to see improved. Also, specifically, one of the things that they specifically asked for to get to that place were not just the safety improvements. That's sort of an easy answer to some of those questions. But the placemaking things, the street trees and the nicer lighting and the things that make a neighborhood really feel like a neighborhood. And this plan accounts for many of those elements. So just as others have asked you to make their date night easier, I'm asking you to make my job as president of the association easier. And from a business, representing the businesses in our district, we know that pedestrian-friendly and bicycle-friendly districts are business-friendly. So I just ask you to approve the plan today.
Thank you. What's your business again?
Knockout Words. It's a writing and editing firm.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Nathaniel Meek. I am a resident of Foster Powell for the last couple years or so. I am in support of the streetscape plan, and I just wanted to echo pretty much everything everyone said up until this point for the safety, the utility, the economy, and for the overall aesthetics. I think it is a win for the neighborhood and the city of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Anyone else that wants to speak? Oh, come on up.
I didn't know there was a sign.
That's fine. Come on up. Welcome.
Hello. Okay. Hello. Thank you. Council, first I would like to thank Mauricio and his team and all of the neighborhood folks that have been involved. My name is Matt Froman. I am son of Robert Buck Froman. He's one of the longest tenured businessmen on Foster Road, a place called Buckstow Palace, a place where people come from all over the state to buy old stoves, new stoves, and so forth. So we have people that are not only local purchasing stoves, but as well as, so we got a lot of people. So I'll make this short and sweet. He also owns a really cool building called the Phoenix Pharmacy that we all hope one day to come back to life as well. So I'm involved in that program called Foster the Phoenix. I just wanted to say I'm really excited about the potential of this. I have a perspective of my parents being divorced, so I've grown up in Northeast Portland as well as Southeast. So my mom's lived in a neighborhood called Lowerhurst, where we have nice trees, we have a bike lane, and there's a lot of pride and community in that area. I've also spent the last 30 years working with my dad on Foster Road, where I've been in there, heard bicycle crashes, heard ambulances going up and down the street and so forth. And there's not as much pride around there right now. So it would be really cool to see something like this happen to help spur the economic growth throughout the corridor. And just one other thing, we all understand that doing the lane changes, trees and all that, cannot guarantee not people dying on the streets, but what we can say is it's going to be more livable. And if it's more livable, more people will want to come there. If more people want to come there, they'll want to slow down. One of my biggest gripes with Foster Road is when you're driving through it, there is parking lots, some of the street lights are out and everything, and it really does feel like a highway late at night. So people are going to go a little bit faster just naturally. So if we have these buildings there, we have the lights and everything, we actually make it feel a little bit more powerful, a little bit more interested in people that really want to be there, I think that'll help out. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
I'm just curious, is the Phoenix Pharmacy building that you're talking about, is that the old Leach
Yes,
pharmacy?
That was built in 1922 by a gentleman named John Leach, also involved with the Leach Botanical Gardens, also has the Y Arts building that was donated to him.
I drive by that building all the time, and it's a beautiful, I mean, it's an interesting structure. Do you have a long-term plan for it?
We've been working on it. We've been working with a lot of different groups. I believe everybody else in here has been driven by it and think the same thing. So we're working on it. We just need a little help. We're looking at about $1 million worth of recovery for seismic and roof. So Commissioner Fish, if you can help us find some of that, we will gladly get that building rocking and rolling.
I mentioned that Commissioner Novick is the seismic commissioner.
I'm sure you've heard about this building a few times, Mr. Novick. And again, fosterthephoenix.com is what we're working on. It's against a play on word, Foster the Phoenix. So it's just like bring it back to life, just like we want to bring back the whole community. So we're excited to make it happen.
Thank you.
That's great. Good luck.
Thank you.
Welcome. Just slide that over a little bit. There you go.
Hello. My name is Jeff Manley, and I'm opposed to the plan as it is right now. There's a lot more work that needs to be done, I believe. The Foster, the crossing at Foster at Fred Meyer's, I believe, is in the wrong place. It's in the middle of the block. It should be taken down to the corner. I think all the crossings at Foster should be halfway in between the traffic lights and do the red stop sign, not stop sign, but stop light to stop the cars. There's one farther down. When people want to cross, they push the button. It goes red. The traffic stops. Right now, they haven't put enough thought in it. As far as bikes go on Foster, there's no way you're going to do safely around 92nd and Foster because the street's too narrow. So the people ride on the sidewalks in that area, and that should not be done. But if you was to take and make a bike lane that's parallel to Foster and make it no stop signs, bike traffic only, and only the people who are allowed to have cars on that live in that block, you could go all the way down. A bicyclist would love it if he didn't have to stop anywhere from 92nd all the way down to 52nd. That would make it nice for him. He wouldn't have to worry about cars coming up behind him or cars coming at him. And the people who live along there would probably be like the fact that they didn't have cars going up and down their street trying to avoid the slow traffic at Foster, because cutting it down to one lane, you're going to paralyze Foster completely. And just a little bit of trivia on being safe. Around the turn of the 1900s, when I was in boot camp, I read an article about two cars crashed into each other at 5th and Broadway. One driver was killed. There was only two registered vehicles in San Diego County at the time. You can't get away from accidents. When people don't pay attention, you're going to have accidents. By slowing traffic down, you're still going to have accidents. Because around 1900, I imagine as fast as those would go, it's about 5 miles an hour. And you can't get much slower than that. So I'm opposed to it. I think there's a lot more work that could be done to make things better, not just to say, all right, we're going to slow traffic down, get rid of two lanes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. So I've got some questions for staff. Maybe some others do as well. So a couple of things that got raised. Mrs. Specht, I'm not sure which, sorry, I think it was him, mentioned bus service. So if at peak hour we're going to have queuing and slower speeds on Foster, how's that going to work for bus service? I loved his idea about streetcar, but I've got to admit it's not going to happen, you know, next year. So in the present day, we're going to have bus service on Foster. Are we adding a signal preemption for the buses? What are we doing in terms of coordination with TriMet so that bus service is still or maybe even better than it is today?
Yeah, we've been working with TriMet in this process. And we're looking at, this is a planning level at this point, so when we get into actual engineering, we'll be looking at signal prioritization. We're looking at possibly pull-outs for buses. And in the next effort, we'll go into this and try and make it better for buses.
Okay. But signal preemption for them, like we did on Barber, is at least a potential solution, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then... emergency vehicles, are these going to be, again, I know that's maybe the next level of detail design, but I think Foster's a fire response route. Opticom equipment on the signals to allow the
sure,
fire
definitely.
Vehicles. That's,
yeah.
I assume, a design standard for an arterial like this now?
It's for any, yes, it is standard, and any new signals would have that. Well, I think the ones out there probably do have that. But
we have it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, the combination of the bike lanes and the center turn lane allows vehicles to pull to the side, and actually the fire truck or whatever used
down
the center.
Down the center, right.
The center.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Here I have a question. I'm turning to page 25 of the big document we were given. And it's in the spirit of what Commissioner Novick, as the Transportation Commissioner, and I, as the Water and Sewer and Stormwater Commissioner, have been working on, which is coordination. There's a reference to stormwater and your aspirations in terms of new stormwater facilities and how you might phase them in. But it sort of is more general. It just says, per the city's stormwater manual. So can you give me a sense of the scale and scope of what you're hoping to do? And I guess I'll just ask generally, are we aligned from your point of view, that is BES and transportation on this endeavor?
Yeah, thank you. We've been working with BES on FLIP, so we were and we also so we've been coordinated. We have the expectation of bioswales to be implemented with the plan. We do not have the capacity to survey the location. You know, they need to be on a, you know, the water needs to go to them, but we have identified areas where the curb extensions will be, as well as in the we have to provide them, as well as we costed about the right amount of cost, so that in the next phase of design and engineering, we'll be able to locate the bioswales. We have some locations where they might be, but we haven't identified them in the plan. But we will; they will be part of it. They are required, and particularly where we move the sidewalks, such as in lands. And we'll work with BS on the proper location. Also, they're very excited about the trees, and we're hoping to partner with them on the tree program to add more trees than we have budget for.
Yeah, it's interesting. We now have a habit of coming to council and showing, you know, what the green features, how they compare to some gray features when we do the bigger sewer projects. And we've now got it to the point where we can show a substantial savings off the green compared to just the gray, without even putting a value on the trees and the greenery and other things. I mean, you can put your own value on clean air, clean water, shade, a more humane scale. But when we do the bigger projects, that's gravy on top of just the savings of harnessing nature. So we look forward to working with you on this project.
Other questions?
What's the schedule for doing the new LED lights in this area?
I asked in the where we put in new lights. You know, it's our standard now, so whatever goes in, it'll be LED.
So the new light.
The ornamental lights will have LED capabilities.
And how? When is the expectation for when those would be in place?
Yes. So the next steps would be, following today, if adopted, we would go into design and engineering in the next fiscal year, starting the fall. That takes some time. Also, the transfer of funds from PDC, as well as to start the design actually. And then wait for the federal money to come in so that we hope to be in construction by 2016.
So I think it might be worth changing out the street lights on Foster now to the LED, even though you'd then have to do it again. But I'd hate to have two more winters of darker lights.
Okay, yes.
It's obviously a high priority corridor, and I'd like to see them done earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, other questions or discussion? Then we'll take a roll call on the resolution.
Fish?
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Novick for bringing this forward. And frankly, given the volume of work that he has had in the last couple of weeks, there must be more than one Commissioner Novick. I don't know how you do it. And you don't ever look that haggard either. So congratulations, Mauricio, Art, and the whole team. Thank you very much. To the people that are here for the first time, we're spoiled by this team and their presentations. This is what we get normally. So for people in the audience, maybe the first time impressed with this, but this is how they do their business, and this is how particularly they do their public outreach. And it's very rare when we have people complain about or raise a red flag around public outreach when PBOT's involved, because they do such a great job. And I'll just close by saying, I'm very excited about this, and B, just the other day I was at the farmers market in Lentz, and I took Foster down to Powell, and then down to Cesar Chavez, and over to my house. And I travel that route pretty frequently, but I was just struck this time by how many things were new along the route, new businesses, just changes, little signs of things happening, and it is a tremendous stretch of road. The potential here is amazing if we can get it right, and it seems that this plan definitely points us in the right direction. So thank you for your good work, Commissioner Novick, and your team, and Leah, thank you for your leadership on this, and I'm very proud to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this is a really great plan, and let's hope it becomes more than just a great plan and becomes a great reality soon. I'm really impressed with the amount of support expressed here by a majority of the people here today. And I think, as I said a few weeks ago, when we were talking about the Lentz Town Center, there's definitely a lot of new people that are living in Lentz and Foster Powell and Mount Scott Arleta neighborhoods who are bringing a lot of energy, I think, to wanting to make sort of conquer Foster. And, you know, we've been trying to conquer Foster for years, and there were references to going back to as far as 2003, it goes back much further than that. It goes back to probably 1963, probably when people started to first think about some of the issues around Foster Boulevard. But, you know, people now live further east of 92nd. They're going to work downtown, and there's a tendency to travel too fast, and it's manifested itself in a lot of pedestrian tragedies. And I think a lot of the improvements here are oriented towards that. I do have some worries about going from four lanes to two lanes in perhaps, no pun intended, fostering erratic behavior by drivers. When I think of a bus going down Foster, stopping every block or so, that's going to tend people to want to go out into the turn lane to pass that bus. So I think we need bus turnouts, as you were mentioning. We need to get those sooner rather than later. Otherwise, we're going to, as I said, encourage bad behavior, and that's only going to undercut our efforts here to increase pedestrian and motorist safety and bicycle safety. So it's a good plan, but the details will be in the implementation of it. So thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Novick. Please to vote aye.
Novick?
Thank you, colleagues. And in response to Commissioner Fish's comments, fortunately, I had to do hardly any work on this because the work had all been done by the community and the staff over a period, as you heard, of many, many years. My office can perhaps take credit for slowing the process down a little bit in order to ensure that we did some additional outreach, which Andrea Valderrama and my office worked with PBOT on. I really appreciate all the work of the team, of Lewis and Mauricio and Art and everybody, every person in every organization who has worked on this over the years. Thank you all so very, very much. And I can't help but say that this is a $5.25 million project, which we are going to accomplish with PDC and federal funding. And if we were able to have approximately $20 million a year for safety-related projects, as some of us hope we will, then we could guarantee a celebration like this four times a year, or celebrations half as big eight times a year, or one big celebration four times as big once a year. I can think of some projects that cost that much. But, I mean, this is the kind of project that we can do with appropriate community involvement and appropriate resources. And I really look forward to seeing what Foster Road will look like 5 years from now. Aye.
Fritz.
So we're here today because the community has demanded it and has consistently advocated and supported correcting the problems that we've seen on Foster over many years and decades. And I certainly was at many meetings as the commissioner in charge of the Office of Neighborhood Associations or Neighborhood Involvement and the Business Association and Fun on Foster almost every year, knowing that we need to take care of this challenge. It is good that we have the federal and tax abatement money to start making the repairs. We know that we're going to need more. I do appreciate that Commissioner Novick and Andrea Valderrama did the extra outreach to communities of color and low-income housing and English language learners, and that there was even more support from those communities as from the other more traditional outreach methods. So thank you for taking the time to do that. That's exemplary, and we should... It seems like every time we do something like this, and I know it's as a former neighborhood person, it's hard to keep doing the planning, but each time we do, it seems like it got better. And so we, both in the product and in the process, and I very much appreciate that. And I appreciate those who came to oppose and speak their concerns about the proposal. We heard today about 80%, 20% for and against, same as was reported in the surveys that was done. There are some concerns, and I don't think any plan is perfect. I thank those who also wrote in. We got just a few comments on the street fee over the last couple of months, so I'm a little behind in responding to folks, and I don't have the capacity to respond to everybody who wrote on the petition. So if whoever set up the petition could please thank everybody for taking the time to send those in, that would be greatly appreciated. And for everybody else, I will be responding as soon as I can make some dent in my email backlog. We do need more funding for streets. There's no question in my mind. And having done the city budget for the last 6 years, there is no hidden bucket of money that we could use for projects like this. So I encourage you all, now that this project is partially funded, stay engaged and continue over the next 6 months as we look for where are we going to find the money to do these kinds of important projects all over the city? There's some places where it's complete, that the system is complete and everything's rosy, and I appreciated the comments about Laurelhurst versus Foster Powell. There's a lot of different places that need either infrastructure for the first time, where there are gravel streets and no sidewalks, or improvements and maintenance. And so we do need to continue to engage as a community. How are we going to pay for those? What do we want to buy? How do we want to pay for it? I'm very glad that you've decided what we want to buy here and that we have at least a partial way to pay for it. And thank you all for your good work on this.
Hales.
Well, my comments this afternoon, I'm going to try to momentarily rival Commissioner Novick because I'm going to quote both Randy Newman and Lewis Mumford. First, I want to compliment you, Commissioner, and the Bureau of Transportation and your staff in a really genuine and thoughtful community process. We've had a couple of high watermark hearings, in my opinion, over the last few months. Last week's discussion about short-term rentals was another example where we had really thoughtful citizens who put a lot of work into an issue, who care a lot about it, who have spoken eloquently here for us, and I learned a lot and appreciate very much the citizen activism that went into this piece of work. And I think that that's exactly what we would hope for in a process like this. Now, the way to make sure that this good work doesn't become the movie Groundhog Day, where we experience the same day over and over again, or that this document doesn't become a shelf study, is to remember Randy Newman's song, "It's Money That Matters." Mm-hmm. And it is indeed money that matters. Fortunately, we have some of the funding for this project. We will need more. And I want to echo the comments that we've already heard from my colleagues about the need to get serious about funding so that we don't do shelf studies and so that we don't subject our earnest citizens who work so hard on these projects to Groundhog Day meetings. The great Lewis Mumford was born in 1895 and spent almost the entire 20th century, he lived an amazing long life, thinking more clearly and writing and speaking more clearly about cities than almost anyone. And he could be caustic. He said, the national flower of the United States of America is the concrete clover leaf. He could be ironic, and he would say about people speeding past the businesses on Foster Road in their automobile to get to some distant chain store, what he said 50 years ago when he said, "Americans will soon have every means of moving about the city and no reason whatsoever to go there." That's what we want to avoid on Foster. We want people to slow down, get out of their car, and notice that this is a great neighborhood and you can shop here and do business here and recreate here in great parks and go to great restaurants, and you don't have to speed off to some distant chain store. And then Lewis Mumford would also think about the tragic loss of Lindsay and her neighbors and Steph and others having an unremarkable date walk and say, as he said once before, we should forget the damned motor car and build the city for lovers and friends. Long time ago that he said that. Now, we're not going to forget the motor car. We're going to balance its mobility with the ability to walk hand in hand down the sidewalk wide enough to do that, to bike safely, to send our children to school on foot and not fear that trip. And I think he would approve this work just as we should, and he would also approve getting it done. Thank you all very much for excellent work. Aye. And we are recessed until tomorrow. Thank you.